like military exchanges, climate change, and drug control. This is because of internal and external pressures like the midterm elections, severe inflation, and several countermeasures China has put in place since Pelosi's reckless visit to Taiwan. During the summit, both sides elaborated on their own policy stances on major concerns, bilateral relations, and significant global challenges. They also reached a number of important consensus which point a clear direction to development of ties. Washington's desire to stabilize relations does not mean that it has changed its policy towards China. The Biden administration still emphasizes competition with China. Compared with the Trump administration, it pays more attention to the role of allies. The Biden administration has stepped up its diplomatic efforts with Asia-Pacific nations and seeks to isolate China by strengthening cooperation with its allies, which, however, prompted the regional countries to face the dilemma of taking sides between two major powers. However, most U.S. allies are very resistant to take sides. For example, Prime Minister of Singapore Lee Hsien Loong indicated that ASEAN member states do not want to choose sides. Canberra has also sought to mend ties with China. In addition, German Chancellor Olaf Scholz took a business delegation on his trip to Beijing recently and reached a series of cooperation agreements. The fundamental reason that this situation occurs is the contrast of strengths and differences in interest. First, it is foolish to choose sides between two rival powers. China and the U.S. are two countries with the strongest comprehensive strength and international influence in the world. The state of China-U.S. relations not only affects the cooperation and competition between the two countries, but also has a huge impact on the global situation. For other countries, it is not in their fundamental interest to get involved in confrontation between China and the U.S. or to choose sides between the two. Second, decoupling with China is not in the interest of U.S. allies and partners. China and the U.S. are the two largest economies in the world. China-U.S. relations deeply affect the world economy. In the eyes of the vast majority of countries, a decoupling of economics or technology is not conducive to their own economic development. Third, there are cognitive differences between the U.S. and its allies and partners. Most Asia-Pacific countries and some of the U.S. allies and partners have a high degree of economic dependence on China's economy, and they have different perceptions of their strategic relationships with China. The U.S. regards itself as the global hegemon and the designer and defender of the West-led international order. It has a strong hegemonic anxiety with China's rapid development. Nonetheless, U.S. allies and partners in the West, or non-Western allies, which share Western values and political ideology, have a certain degree of anxiety about China, while most other allies and partners have no obvious strategic anxiety about China and hope to benefit from China's development. In addition, China actively conducts diplomatic work, expounds China's position and policies in a timely and comprehensive manner, and provides wisdom and solutions to promote peace and development at the regional and global levels. This has made many U.S. allies and partners improve their attitude toward China. There are indications that most U.S. allies and partners do not want to choose sides between China and the U.S., and they're not to and cannot fully follow the U.S. in restricting China. This not only reflects the reality that China's strength and influence have increased significantly, but also reflects the decline of U.S. on its allies and partners, and that the political and economic coercion and value-guided methods cannot achieve the goals of the U.S. If the U.S. does not change its zero-sum thinking and understanding of China, it will be difficult to completely change its China policy and its expectations for allies and partners. However, this is not in line with the will of all countries to expect world peace and common development.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم dear ladies, sisters, mothers, all the Muslim ladies out there. Welcome back to another session of your favorite program, Muslim Lady. This is Asma. I have the pleasure to be your host, and here with me, I have Sister Zainab as the guest who's going to help us with knowing more about how should a Muslim lady live. Assalamu alaikum, sister, and welcome to your program.
Wa alaikum assalam, Sister Asma. Thank you so much for having me.
It's been quite some time that we've been working on a book, which Sister Zainab is working on it, and then giving us some important hints and important ideas about the book, which is, all in all, generally talking about the ethics.
And lifestyle of Lady Zainab, yeah. Written by Dr. Muhammad Reza Jabbari.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's the lifestyle of Sayyida Fatima Zahra. And we are actually getting familiar with how she lived, the manners she went through. We talked about table manners. We talked about adornment. We talked about resting. But I guess something is remaining from the resting part, which was related to sleeping, to the time we devote for sleep and something like that.
Yeah. So resting part is basically when you go for sleep and when you wake up. So we did when we go for sleep and then when to wake up and all, those also have ethics. Islam has taught us like all And we have practically seen that in our best role models, in the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and his purified family, their life. And right now, we are just focusing on the life of Lady Zahra, salamu alayha. So we ended our last session with these sleeping ethics, wherein Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, he advised Lady Zahra, salamu alayha, O Fatima, don't go for sleep before you carry out these four. What was that? That was to complete the Holy Quran and make all prophets as your intercessors. And every believer should be satisfied with you and carry out Hajj and Umrah. And then when Lady Zahra Sallallahu Alaihi says, I am not capable of doing all that before sleep. How do I do that? He smiles and tells her, if you recite Surah Tawheed for three times, it's as good as you. It's like it gets the reward of completion of whole Quran. So we as Muslim ladies can have our wise brains. Yeah. We can use our wise brains. Like, I want to do, I will make sure that I complete the Holy Quran tonight before going to bed, and suggest that to my children, suggest that to my husband, suggest that to every member of the family. Hey guys, do you know we can complete whole Quran just before going to bed? And that too in just 1, 2, 3 steps. And that is reciting Surah Tawheed 3 times. And then he tells her, if you send salutations on me and the prophets who have been before me, it's we all will be your intercessors. So it's so easy. Like, it's just one line, sending the salutations and salam on the
prophets. And I remember the last session we talked about this very thing, that you said that if Muslim ladies focus about this very tiny steps, then they would turn their bed into the mosque.
Into the mosque, exactly. You know, a sleeping bed would turn into a mosque and would get more and more rewards. You are actually making your resting place a spiritual place. You're reaching heights, the levels of spirituality. And then how all believers will be satisfied with you. Forgive them. Forgive them and ask for their forgiveness. When you pray for them, that's how all believers will be satisfied with you.
Yeah, well, right at this moment, let's go for a short break and we'll be back to continue what we're talking about. Thank you, Muslim ladies, to stay with us.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You're listening to Muslim Lady. In here, I am Asma, your host. And here with me, I have Sister Zainab. We're talking about the rituals of sleeping and resting and the things that we should take into notice before we go to bed.
Sister Asma, I had been talking about sending salutations on Prophet and forgiving the Muslim believers. I would like to expand it a little. Like, when we send salutation, what does that mean? We always, you know, start our salutations with salam. And even the word Islam is a, you know, combination of these words. Salam means that I surrender. Yeah. I surrender before you. When you're sending salam, it's not just, hey, salam, salutations on you. It's not like that. It is like, I am surrendering before you.
Yeah.
And go for sleep. You are tired, working throughout the day. Now you want to make your...
You're worn out, actually, throughout the day. You've been doing too much of jobs and chores, perhaps.
And something that irritates your mind the most is, like, if you did something wrong somewhere. So, you know, just surrender in front of your prophet.
Yeah.
Actually, when you surrender things, you are mentally making yourself feel better. And then you also are doing what Prophet, may peace be upon, has suggested us. And when you every night go and surrender before them, send salutations. Salutation sending means surrendering, actually. When you surrender before them, they will be intercessors tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It's not like they will be intercessors as such. Then we said, forgive the mu'mineen, forgive the believers. Ask for their forgiveness. Okay, if someone went wrong with you, you show greatness. You forgive them. And that's really hard with ladies.
Yeah.
That's really, really hard, because we kind of keep that, you know, something that's tough in our heart and that pinches us all the time. Why she went wrong that way? Why he did like this? Why this and that? believer did like this to me. He was not supposed to. We are not very, very easy in terms of forgiving people. But see what Lady Zahra is doing all the time. And even Imam Hassan al-Islam asks her, why are you praying for others when for us? She says, first neighbors.
And then us.
And then us.
Yeah. See, so since she is the role model of all the Muslim ladies out there, we're just focusing on
showing you. She's telling you how big heart you should have.
Mm-hmm.
First,
though she's the daughter of the Prophet.
Yeah,
and she could go very much easy.
Yes, you know, because a woman is so powerful, she can destroy a generation. She can enrich a generation. She can take them towards the what we call as sa'adat, real sa'adat. She can take them towards real prosperity.
Salvation.
Salvation, prosperity. The entire generation she's going to bring about. So she has to have a big heart. She has to have a forgiving heart. She has to talk about believers. See, for example, someone is pinching you. Someone is irritating you. Someone is not nice with you. Don't talk behind him, number one. And then if you're not able to take it out of your heart, you know, guide yourself in the way. See, Sister Asma, if I am cleaning my house and I am putting all the dust in the dustbin and I'm not throwing that out, what is the fun of my cleanliness? What is the fun of that? I work all day. I cleaned my home. What is the fun that I put it all in the dustbin?
Actually, there is no use in that.
Because all the smell will spread out back into my house. So
and there'd be no good in cleaning your place.
I may not be harmful apparently to others, but I will keep a grudge deep
inside
within my
heart
towards the believers, towards who did something wrong to me. So in order to clean up my soul, it's recommended say istighfar, say the zikr, say the, you know, recite the zikr of istighfar.
And ask forgiveness of Allah every night.
Yeah, ask for that. That's the, for example, someone says, okay, I take a shower. That's a shower of my body. But what about the shower of my soul? The shower of your soul is reciting astaghfirullah, asking for forgiveness. So ask for your forgiveness and, you know, forgive believers. Once you forgive believers, that's that way. On that day, no believer will be you know, having grudges with you, basically.
Exactly.
Because it's all women who have grudges with each other, who have grudges with others. I'm not degrading them, but I'm saying they have a very, very soft heart. They're not able to take it out of their heart. But see, if you're taking this out of your heart, you're basically cleaning your soul.
Yeah.
It's benefiting you. Because if you're putting there, it's somewhere stinging within your soul, and your soul will smell bad.
Mm-hmm. So what I get from what you're saying up until now is that as a Muslim lady, I have to clean my soul every night because the womb of a woman is the place where a generation is going to be created. And if this mother has a pure soul and if this mother is very much careful about every single act she takes through her life, then the other generation that is going to come in future is going to be a prosperous one. Is going to be a generation that knows what is the true path and follows it directly. So this is actually what we have for
here, but also, like, you know, if you have a child who sees, like, my mother keeps grudges, he will turn into a revenging child.
Yeah, that's very true. So mothers are actually the models for their children, whether it be the son or the daughter. So that's why we're mentioning all these facts, which are coming out of the life of Sayyida Zahra Salamullah Alayha. So dear listeners, let's go for a short break and we'll be back. Thank you for staying with us. Welcome back, dear ladies. This is Muslim Lady, and we're talking about another aspect of Sayyida Zahra Salamullah Alayha's lifestyle. We're going through some ideas, which was telling us that every single night we can do too much before going to bed. And then Sister Zainab told us that These are important, actually, to take care of, because a mother is the beginning of a new generation. She is the one who's going to be the teacher for her children. That's why she has to be very much careful about every single move she takes in her life and consider God in every single step, so that her children are going to follow her steps.
Yes. Thank you, Sister Asma, for that summary again. So we were talking about what Prophet recommended ladies to do before sleep. And we, as ladies who are torn out throughout the day, who are like done with everything, who are energyless, you can, with that small energy, complete the whole Quran. You can achieve the satisfaction of all believers. You can achieve the intercession of all prophets. And you can also carry out Hajj and Umrah by just reciting Tasbihat Arba'eh. What is that? That is to recite 100 times the four zikr. What is that? That is Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Wa la ilaha illallah, and Allahu Akbar. What we recite in the third unit of our prayers. So that's what was recommended before sleep. Mm-hmm. Now there are some ethics that are related to waking up.
Yeah.
When to wake up. And
I guess we're going to go for those ethics for the coming session.
Inshallah.
Yeah. Thank you, Sister Zainab. You actually went through some very fruitful ideas. Thank you so very much, dear listeners, sisters and brothers, the loyal audience of IRB English Radio, for lending us your time and attention. You are listening to your favorite one and only Muslim lady. If you've missed any episode or you wish to stay tuned to the latest topics and discussions, you can visit parstoday.com. With a click on A Call of Islam, all your favorite programs will pop up and you could find a boundless archive of any topics of your interest. Also, if you have any suggestions or ideas, you could send your emails at englishradio@irib.ir.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
Food for thought.
Salam. And how about starting the day by pondering on the words of the Prophet of Islam regarding his divinely decreed vicegerent, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him. Nobody properly knows Allah except me and Ali. Nobody properly knows me except Allah and Ali. Nobody properly knows Ali except Allah and me.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news, with delight.
Thousands of baby turtles have been released into Peru's Amazon basin in an attempt to preserve the rainforest ecosystem. More than 6,000 hatchlings of three endangered species of turtles have been released into lakes and lagoons in Peru to help them repopulate. To make this happen, wildlife officials collected the eggs from their natural habitat and transferred them to artificial beaches until they hatched. The river turtles are considered vulnerable because for many years they have been killed for human consumption or kept as pets. Scientists are currently trying to conserve the Amazon to avoid catastrophic climate change, and Peru has the second largest share of the rainforest after Brazil. Another world record news. This time it has been set in Switzerland. A Swiss railway company has run the world's longest passenger train with a trip on one of the most spectacular tracks through the Alps. To celebrate its 175th anniversary, Switzerland's rail industry launched the world's longest ever passenger train, measuring around 2 kilometers. The electric train took almost an hour to cover around 25 kilometers over the UNESCO World Heritage Albula Line in eastern Switzerland. The Albula Line is famous for its endless swooping curves and steep descents. Rail enthusiasts lined the valley to watch the train's 100 cars snake through the Alps. Belgium and the Netherlands were the previous record holders for the world's longest passenger train. They used standard railway through the flat landscapes.
After repeated failed attempts, NASA has eventually launched this moon rocket on its debut flight. NASA's next generation moon rocket blasted off from Florida, marking the start of the space agency's new program dubbed Artemis. An uncrewed Orion spaceship is fixed to the top of the 32-story tall Space Launch System rocket. It will be separated for a 25-day voyage around the moon and back without astronauts aboard. It was the third time after two previous launch attempts were cancelled for technical reasons. If the mission succeeds, a crewed Artemis II will orbit around the moon but not land on the surface in 2024. The third Artemis mission, scheduled for 2025, will be the first to put astronauts on the moon since Apollo's mission about 5 decades ago.
Iran has hosted an international student scientific contest dubbed Noor or Light. The annual event seeks to promote science among children and scout for child prodigies. Yusuf Jalali has the story.
They have only 1 minute to present a scientific idea in their homemade clips. Over 1,300 teenage science enthusiasts from 19 countries participated in Iran's Noor competition, a scientific contest for school students. The fifth edition of the event was themed with optical illusion and mathematical modeling. The top 100 videos were awarded during this closing ceremony in Tehran.
My work is titled The Bouncing Ball. We painted a long oval and a shadow under it. When we film it from a certain angle, it takes the shape of a levitating ball.
Our work is about an optical illusion. We created a set of conjoining cylinders that appeared to change shape in the mirror. The idea was first created by a Japanese engineer in 2016.
The most creative videos win the prize. They should be both educational and mind-blowing, like this floating Rubik's Cube, which appears to be levitating, but then turns out to be just an origami work.
We have two levels of the competition. One is the kind of general competition for the crowd, and many students can contribute on that, in that. And we have other level, which is for elite. And in that in that level, we have a more sophisticated competition between elite.
Organizers say participants in newer contests are not supposed to make breakthroughs. The main goal, they say, is to engage them in science and let them experience the excitement of scientific experiments.
Try to make these teenagers learn how they can think about science for the welfare of human beings and how they can apply it for them.
Mustafa Science and Technology Foundation is the organizer of this scientific event. The foundation also holds the biennial Mustafa Prize, which awards cash prizes to top scientists from across the Muslim world, whose accomplishments contribute to the welfare of human beings.
Mustafa Science and Technology Foundation, as the organizer of Noor Competition, says prodigies are everywhere. They just need to be discovered. It says this contest is a platform that's specially designed to scout for teenage minds and give them a chance to shine. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Chinese aerobatic teams have been performing jaw-dropping stunts to mark the 73rd anniversary of the People's Liberation Army Air Force. Pilots wowed the audience with their complicated maneuvers, such as swooping close to the ground, making loops and rolls. Aerobatic teams use red, yellow and blue smoke trails representing the flag of the Chinese Air Force. The Hongying aerobatic team, also known as the Red Eagle, is made up of 10 JL-8 trainer planes and 20 pilots from the Air Force Aviation University. The performance was part of China's International Aviation and Aerospace Exhibition held in southern China. The exhibit typically draws thousands of participants in the field of aviation from countries all over the world.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Iran is the land of saffron, and the red gold has earned the country a fortune throughout the centuries. Now Iran's city of Torbat Haydariya has hosted a saffron photography festival as a means to introduce the lucrative product to the world. Yusuf Jalali reports.
Like gold, it is weighed in shekels, not in kilos. And that's why saffron is called the red gold, reflecting how precious it is economically. Torbat Haydariya in northeast Iran is the hub of saffron cultivation in the country, producing an average of 20 million tons of the crop each year. Now the city hosts the Festival of Saffron Photography every year to introduce Iran as the land of saffron and how these hard-working farmers produce the strategic crop.
Photographers present in this festival should use their artistry to shed light on different stages of saffron harvest all the way to the final product. Everyone knows Iranian saffron, but perhaps few know how it's produced. So this festival highlights this issue using photography.
Photography is a universal language that needs no translation, so their photos can better introduce this strategic plan to the world from unique angles.
This year, Iran exported roughly 300 tons of saffron, generating more than $350 million in income, according to the data provided by the Ministry of Agriculture. Experts believe Iran could have a much higher share of the global trade of saffron if it pays better attention to branding and marketing of the product.
Due to favorable weather conditions, Iranian saffron is unique in the world. But unfortunately, in many countries, it's smuggled in bulk and is packaged under foreign brands and then sold at higher prices. If we can brand it inside Iran, then we can export it more efficiently.
The young farm owner says his saffron is exported to Europe and the Middle East, despite the restrictions caused by U.S. sanctions on Iran. But more than the U.S. measures, he's concerned about the impact of climate change on saffron cultivation, warning of what he calls saffron immigration from his city, if authorities remain idle.
Unfortunately, saffron is gradually leaving our region and moving to western parts of Iran. This is due to changes in weather conditions and declining rainfall here. If the government helps farmers with modification of planting patterns, we can stop this disaster.
Over the past 2 years, Iran has expanded its cultivation area for saffron to 115,000 hectares, nearly 20 times more than the entire worldwide land dedicated to the crop. While the Iranian red gold is mainly cultivated in the northeastern Khorasan province, other parts of the country, including Khuzestan and Chaharmahal Bakhtiari, are also fertile for saffron farming.
For centuries, saffron has been a key word in Iran's economy, and still is today. Now, Saffron Photography Festival says many know Iran by its red gold, but through the photos shot here, they will get a glimpse of the mesmerizing saffron farms in Iran and how this amazing crop is produced. Yusuf Jalali from the saffron farms in the suburbs of Turbat Haydariye.
Usually, rats are associated with garbage and disease, but these rats are not the typical rodents. They are being trained in Tanzania for search and rescue operations. These are a breed called the African giant pouch rat, which is naturally a very curious creature. It can weigh up to around 1,500 grams and are known to have longer lifespans than other rats. Lead researcher at the Belgium-based non-profit company Apopo, Donna Keane, says this species can live up to 10 years. This means that even after the 9 months of training, the rat will still have a long working career ahead. The size and agility of rats make them invaluable for search and rescue efforts.
So this is where the idea for the rats came in, because the rats are just as trainable as dogs. They've got a great sense of smell, and their small size and natural agility should hopefully make them really good in this scenario, where they could squeeze in small spaces and get closer to any victims.
The rescue rats began training in August last year at the Apopo's Training and Research Center. The rodents are fitted with tiny backpacks that enable real-time wireless audio-visual communication. When they find a potential victim, they pull a small handle hanging around their neck to let the rescue handlers know. The rats were trained to locate humans in mock disaster zones, such as aftermath of earthquakes. Apopo has already trained rats to detect landmines and sift out tuberculosis. So much joy can be found in a bottle of luxury perfume, but parting with hundreds of dollars for such scents, I can take the shine off that experience. Now in Syria, a perfumer is helping people smell expensive without digging too deep into their pockets. One whiff of a fragrance is all a Syrian perfumer needs to recreate the scents of luxury brands for a fraction of a cost. That's very welcome in a country ravaged by years of foreign-backed militancy. Dozens of customers flock daily to his tiny store nestled in the historic bazaar of Damascus. They flash photos on their phones of high-end perfumes they want to replicate. He says all he has is his nose.
Here lies the secret of the profession and the brain power. I started training my nose to smell perfumes since I was 15 years old. I do not own high-end equipment. All I have is my nose, my brain power and expertise. That's all.
In the war-torn country, many people struggle to afford life's bare necessities, let alone perfume. With the local currency losing much of its value, Syrian employees reportedly make roughly $25 a month, on average a quarter of the price of a bottle of imported perfume. This perfumer sells his fragrances for about $6, drawing in a flow of clients from all walks of life.
today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers, dear sisters, Salamu alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special by IRIB English Radio from Iran. Be with us. The topic that which today we're going to concern about is importance of secrecy. I mean, keeping things secret in Islamic viewpoint. So be with us.
Yourself, can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? The clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue, planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun, such perfect harmony. Let's start questioning ourselves, isn't this proof enough for us?
Today, Wednesday, is the 28th of Rabiul Thani, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 2nd of the month of Azar, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 23rd of November, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. For today, we listen to Surah Isra, verse 36 from the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Wa la taqfu ma laysa laka bihi ilm. Inna as-sam'a wal basara wal fu'ada kullu ula'ika kana 'anhu mas'ula.
And do not pursue that of which you have no knowledge. Indeed, the hearing, the sight, and the heart, about all those one will be questioned.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The mention of eyes, ears, and heart in this verse is perhaps used as examples for in the day of resurrection, besides man himself, one's organs, such as his hands, feet, and other bodily organs will be questioned too, in which case they will burst out speaking and make confessions. Throughout history, most of the rebellions and quarrels have been the consequences of hastily set up trial procedures and judgments on documented words and views which have not been backed up by research.
Every morning I wake up and see the splendor of Allah's beauty, the sky at dawn, the silent trees. Praise be to Him, supreme is He. Praise be to Him, supreme is He. As I set to start my day, I think of Allah and I pray. His blessings are with me always. Praise be to Him, most kind is He. Praise be to Him, most kind is He.
We're speaking about the importance of secrecy or keeping things secret in Islam. Secrets are a kind of trust, and thus they are a kind of contract or covenant which must be kept. It is necessary to be harsh with those who disclose them, because they are betraying a trust and breaking their promise. Secret vary. There are those for which the person who discloses them must be dealt with harshly. Because disclosing them causes widespread harms, such as disclosing secrets to the kafir and enabling them to defeat the Muslims or gain victory over them. This is what is known in modern parlance as high treason. And there are secrets that are less serious, such as those in which disclosure causes harm to individuals. But in all cases, disclosure is a betrayal of trust and breaking of the covenant.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his immaculate progeny. This is Ali, your host, from IRB English Radio, and we shall be with you, inshallah, in our today's show, with our topic that is secrecy and how to keep secrets. Imam Ali alayhi salam has said in relation to secrecy, whoever is unable to keep his own secrets will not be able to keep the secrets of others. In another hadith we read from Imam Ali alayhi salam, your secret is in your prison. If you reveal it, you will be in its prison. Or, again in another hadith, the wise man's chest is his secret fund. Or, do whatever kindness and benevolence you can towards your friend, but be cautious in one matter and do not tell him your secrets with the utmost confidence and trust. There is also a narration from Imam Ali alayhi salam when he gave Malik al-Ashtar the guidelines for governing the people. In that, he emphasized the need for secrecy. Imam says, keep away from the people who are more fault-finding. Because the people have faults, it is quite natural that people have faults. That the leaders of the nation deserve more to hide them. So do not reveal what is hidden from you and cover what is evident, because the judgment of what is hidden from you is with the Lord of the worlds. So as much as you can cover the ugliness and faults of people so that what you love remains covered on the people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cover it on you. IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible. All in all, in today's special, IRIB English Radio.
Why we keep so many secrets and how to share a secret. If you are considering sharing a secret with close others, these tips could make the disclosure easier. Be straightforward. Know what you need before having the conversation and ask for it. Do you need your confidant to listen or advise? Reveal enough information to make the situation clear without overburdening them. Do not answer questions for which you don't have the answers. For example, if someone is very sick, it would be difficult to answer their question, am I going to die? Pick a time and place that feels comfortable for you. Don't be impulsive when revealing the secret. Be mindful of the circumstances. Sometimes waiting too long can backfire. As as usual, in this part, we give you some tips how to keep for keeping a secret. Tell an inanimate object. Telling the secret to a stuffed animal, a pet, or a collectible item may help you feel like you have told someone. If you feel like you're going to burst because you haven't told anyone, this may help get the immediacy of your urge to tell out. Immediacy. Be sure that there is no one nearby to overhear what you are saying. Be sure your phone and computer are not connected to calls or audio chat before you speak aloud to an object. You might feel like you are telling a person, but the danger of the secret getting out would be very low.
We previously mentioned the warning of the Prophet against revealing such secrets. There are secrets that are relevant to the differences between the spouses. Revealing such secrets should be according to their gravity. The wise wife is the one who keeps these secrets and only reveals to those would help in solving the problem. However, she should not reveal them to her friends or relatives. Rather, she should reveal them to those she believes to be wise and able to achieve the divine advice, as conveyed in the verse where Allah the Almighty says, "And if you fear dissension between the two, send an arbitrator from his people and an arbitrator from her people. If they both desire reconciliation, Allah will cause it between them. Indeed, Allah is ever knowing and acquainted with all things." However, the wife should not hasten to do so as soon as a problem occurs or when any tiny problem surfaces. There are many problems which do not need any interference from anyone. Rather, they need wisdom and patience on the wife's part. You should also not reveal your plans and business ventures to certain people. There are numerous hadith and Quranic verses stopping us from sharing future plans with others, as it may have a negative impact on the plan itself, as the evil eye may alter it. Prophet Muhammad has advised us to maintain privacy while sharing our goals, achievements, and plans with others. The Prophet Muhammad said, "Seek help while your needs are being met in seclusion, as those who are blessed are always envied. O Allah, I seek refuge with your perfect words from evil, from every devil, and from poisonous pest, and from every evil, harmful, envious eye." This is the meaning of one of our traditional sayings, "The secret is your slave, but you become its slave if you disclose it." The details of many important affairs can be protected only if they are kept secret. Often enough, when the involved parties do not keep certain matters secret, no progress is achieved. In addition, serious risks might confront those who are involved, particularly if the matter concerns delicate issues of national life and its continuation.
I'm sure you agree with me. It's a nice topic to discuss, to know more about it. So inshallah, we'll continue on the next episode of today's special. Till then, that is tomorrow. Allah keep all of you sound and safe. Fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyun Imami. لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.